okay? And so the first thing I want to do, this is a lot of times I ask Spirit, you know, like, what is it? What's the message that I'm supposed to get tonight? And what's the message that the people that Spirit is going to send tonight are supposed to get? Because the Course teaches that all the people in your life at a certain point are people that are sent. You know, so whoever comes to a class are just the people who are sent that night. And so if we're sent tonight, then we obviously got the special message. And so what I want to do is, this section has to do with learn how to never allow yourself to be manipulated ever again by anyone for the rest of your life.
Ooh. Wow.
Okay? Seen correctly, this section is about how not to let yourself be manipulated in any way again for the rest of your life. Is that a worthwhile goal?
That's a worthwhile goal.
Okay. In order for that to happen, we have to divide everybody up into two kinds of people. One kind is a person that believes in guilt, and the other kind is a person that believes in innocence. Okay? And if you want to understand manipulation, you have to be clear how people that believe in guilt operate. Because if you don't know how people that believe in guilt and separation operate, then there's no way you can keep yourself from being manipulated by them, because they represent the part of you that wants to manipulate you. Okay? So when it talks about ego, it's just talking about people who are not conscious of the truth, who still believe that guilt and attack and anger is how you get people to do, or manipulation is how you get people to do what you want them to do because they believe in lack. Okay? So when the Course says ego, I'm going to say other words other than ego in order to help make this meaningful. And since I feel like we can go deeper tonight, since we got a real intimate group of people who are totally open-minded. It says, the very first paragraph says, beyond the poor attraction of the special love relationship and always obscured by the special love relationship is the powerful attraction of the father for the son. So, what I'm looking for, I always like to use examples because it makes things easier. My having a special, kind of have a special relationship with anybody in this room is really a reflection of my powerful attraction for God and love.
Wow.
So if I'm trying to have a relationship with anybody, it's really a reflection of my real attraction to God. Then it says, there's no other love that can satisfy you. 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 There's no other love that can satisfy you except the love between you and God, you and the Creator. There's no love that can satisfy you like real love, which is what Course teaches God is. He says, the reason why no other love but the love of God can satisfy us is because there really isn't any other love. So if a person isn't experiencing the love between that, like between the love we have between us and God, he says, really, you're not either you're experiencing real love or you're not experiencing love. So it says, this is the only love that's fully given and fully returned. This is the only love that's fully given and fully returned. Being complete, this love asks for nothing. So what it's doing right now is describing to us what real love is like, and don't make yourself feel bad if you know you can't do that. Okay, that's the trick. Okay, I had to understand what real love was like. Well, if it's real love, I fully give it and it's fully returned. Not only that, it's a complete love, so it's not demanding or asking for anything. It's a love that's completely pure, and when you're in a real love, everybody in a real love has everything. And he says, this is not the basis for any relationship in which we enter. Well, right, that's what ego is, or we, those of us who still believe in guilt or anger or separation, because we're really both people.
Yeah, we are.
We're the ones who really know what real love is, which is our invisible self at this point. And then there's then there's our ego self, which is the one that doesn't know anything about a love that's fully given, fully returned, doesn't demand anything, and it's completely satisfying, and everybody in it has everything, and nothing's missing.
Wow.
So the Course says, for every relationship in which a fearful man embarks, a man that doesn't really know what love is, it's always looking for a special love. And when the Course says special love, it doesn't mean special in the sense that, you know, you're trying to, in a sense, just seek out a special person. It's talking about special in the sense that we seek out, a fearful man seeks out a love that's different from real love and different from the love of God. So the Course in Miracles definition of special, the Course in Miracles definition of special is different. So the Course in Miracles definition of special is a relationship that has a love that's different from what real love is. And then it had just told us what real love is. We got some extra books here too. Had just told us what real love is, which is what? A love that is fully given, fully returned, totally complete, doesn't ask anything, and everybody who's joined in it has everything. So the ego isn't looking for that kind of love. A fearful mind isn't looking for that kind of love. He says, now a fearful mind, if you're getting ready to enter a relationship with someone who has a fearful mind, who believes in guilt, who thinks that they're separate from God, he says, then that person is only going to establish a relationship to get something. So a person who doesn't know the truth and doesn't know how to love, they only form relationships so that they can get something, whether that's get attention, get security, get fun, but they're in it because they want to get something. Okay, so when you're dealing with an unaware mind, you're dealing with a mind who's trying to form a relationship with you just to get something. And then the Course says, because that person is a person who would try to keep the giver bound to itself through guilt. So a person who doesn't know what love is, they're going to do two things. They're going to be about getting, and they're going to try to keep you in a relationship through making you feel too guilty to leave or too guilty not to do what they want you to do. So it's a person that's always trying to manipulate you through guilt. Okay, this is the way. Don't forget, the purpose of this class is to teach us how not to ever allow ourselves to be manipulated again. So it's going to be kind of rough in some ways, because we all have a manipulator self. So you need to just go ahead and admit it. There's a part of you that forms relationships to get something. Would you say that, please? There is a part of me that forms relationships to get something. Okay, everybody feel good about that? Do you feel real honest about that? Okay, so and the way that I try to keep Bonnie in a relationship with me is I try to make her feel too guilty to leave, or I'll make her feel so guilty that she'll do what I want her to do. That's called, I'm mad at you, and I'm going to be mad at you until you do what I say. That's the ego law. What is it? I'm mad at you, and I'm going to stay mad at you until you do what I say. Okay? Now, this is right here on the page, right before you. He says, it's impossible for an ego, which is a fearful mind, to enter any relationship to enter any relationship without anger, because a fearful mind, which is the ego, on page 317, a fearful man or a guilty man believes that anger makes friends. I'm gonna get you to like me by showing you how mad I am when you don't treat me the way I want you to treat me. So it's through my anger I'm gonna keep your friendship. I'm gonna let you know how mad I am so you'll be my friend. When you hear it, it sounds crazy, but if we'll be honest with ourselves, we know that's exactly the way the game is played.
Can you give an example?
Yeah. I'm mad at you, and I'm not going to give you any love until you do what I say.
And
I'm saying that that's you know that that's what. Now come on, y'all.
Don't
act like y'all don't. You don't understand. Right. My point that I'm saying is that
we'll chase you.
What I'm saying. Well, whether you chase me, some people chase people who attack them. Some people just let themselves be controlled by people who attack them. But what the point of this is that when the Course tells us what we're doing, we'll say we don't understand. But it's really the thing that you've experienced more than anything else since you land on the planet is what I just got through saying. People forming relationships with you in order to get something, and they use anger and guilt to manipulate you and doing to what they want you to do, and that's how they try to keep the relationship. And guess what? I have done the same thing. So what makes the Course in Miracles difficult is that with the Course in Miracles, you have to actually tell the truth. You have to actually be honest with yourself, because it never says anything that we're not totally aware that everybody does, including ourselves. But if we were talking about the auras and stuff like that, that would be easier for the ego. But the truth is, there's a part of me that wants to get something when I form relationships. Okay, now, the core says this is because the ego believes that anger makes friends. They said, now, when I walk up to you, guess what? It's not going to be my statement. I'm not going to walk up to you and say, if you get in a relationship with me, I'm going to use anger and guilt to manipulate you into doing anything that I want you to do as long as I possibly can. Would you give me your phone number? Okay. I'm not going to do that. So the core says, this is not the ego's statement, but what does it say? It's his purpose. It's his purpose. And then it says the ego, and what is the ego? The part of the mind that doesn't know what love is, that believes that anger and guilt and separation is how you get love, and it's the part of the mind that doesn't believe there's enough love to go around. That's the ego, the separate self, the separated self. So the core says the separated self really believes that it can get somebody and keep somebody by making guilty. I'll get you and I'll keep you by making you feel guilty. Now, guilt is the fearful mind's one attraction. It's an attraction so weak that it wouldn't have no hold at all. Except most people don't recognize that most relationships they're getting into is an attraction to guilt. They think it's an attraction to love. That's deep. You know, that most attractions have nothing to do with love. Most attractions have something to do with guilt, which means they're just two people who see something that they think they can get out of each other. And then they try to keep each other through anger and guilt. But it looked like love. We call it love. And the course is saying what we call love is really fear and guilt. That real love is a love that satisfies you. A real love is fully given, fully returned, totally complete, doesn't ask for anything, totally pure. Everybody joined in it has everything. Okay, that's what real love is like. Okay, then it goes down and says, next sentence says, for the ego always seems to attract through love. It looks like it's an attract. Guilt seems to always look like it's attracting through love. He says, but actually it has no attraction at all to anyone who perceives that it attracts through guilt. In other words, at some point, you won't be attracted to people who just use anger, fear, guilt, and manipulation. You won't even be attracted to them. But once you start to recognize the game that people are playing in this world with each other and calling it real relationships, I don't care how good they look, you're not going to get involved with them. Yet it happened one day. It'll happen one day. One day. You know, sometimes I feel get around butt temptation. I admit that. I just let my sanity go right out the window, you know. Like,
no, onion.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's onion. That's right. Thank you. Onion. And so, you know, well, if I mess up, I'll come back another life. I'll correct it. We had plenty of time. You know what I'm saying. That's faith. Well, I believe in reincarnation because there's no way in the world we could have got this screwed up in one lifetime. Come on now, get real. There ain't no way. No way. No way. I'm willing to admit that it's a part of me that's screwed up, because now what am I doing sitting here?
Yeah, right.
Just to try to bless everybody else out of my angelic goodness. You know, the truth is I'm here because I want to release and let go of everything that causes me pain. And I can't release and let go of things if I'm not willing to admit to myself that I even got the stuff to begin with. So my classes are for people who want to get honest about their shadow, not people who just have to hear what they think of as all positive stuff all the time. You know, that's the more elemental level. And that's okay. You need that to begin. When you come out of a world that you talk, you're guilty and sinful, and it's not okay to want something, you need to attract a positive thinking religion and spirituality to teach you that it's okay to have things, and at the same time teach you that your thoughts are magnetic and you can magnetize things. Okay? That's just to get you from that transition of total guilt to begin to move. Then once you realize that your thoughts can magnetize things, it makes sense that the next level is going to be your thoughts magnetize everything, which means you need to understand that it's just that your power of positive thinking, your thoughts aren't just creating what you like. You also have thoughts that's creating what you don't like. And people love to get into this magnetism stuff when it's about getting the cruise. But they don't want to deal with this magnetism stuff when you say, well, the stuff you don't like is also being drawn to you through your thoughts, just like the stuff you like is being drawn to you. And then that's where the course comes in.
Yeah.
And the course says, now let's get in touch with those thoughts you don't like and let's transmute those thoughts. So that's what the Course in Miracles is about, removing the blocks to the awareness of the presence of love. So you got to look at the block if you're going to remove the block. It's hard for me to move a brick that I won't look down and see it's laying there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm going to remove this brick. That's where we are. I'm going to remove this brick. I don't even have a brick. Where's the brick? You know, I don't, there is no brick. It'd be much easier for me to go, oh, the brick.
There it is.
There it is.
Uh-huh.
And the chord says, oh, the brick. There it is. And then you realize you the brick. But you didn't know you were the brick. You know what I'm saying? You didn't know, you the brick.
I'm the brick.
You're the brick.
I'm the brick.
So that gives a lot of meaning to that song. He used to go, he's a brick.
How? I am I. Let it all hang out.
He's a brick. She's a brick. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, man, this stuff is too deep not to have fun with it. It drives you crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, because The Course in Miracles is a joke book from God. It's really funny. It's really funny when you see it correctly. It's overwhelming when you get serious about it. Jesus has a sense of humor. Whoever was behind it, you know, has a sense of humor. Okay, so now, let me admit some more. He says, now, the fearful guilty man always seems to attract through love and has no attraction at all to anyone who perceives that it attracts through guilt. The sick attraction of guilt must be recognized for what the sick attraction of guilt is,
uh-huh.
Because having made the sick attraction of guilt real to you, it's essential to look at the sick attraction to guilt. See, when I read the Course, I fill in the it's and the them's and the they's. I find that when you do that, it makes it easier to understand.
Yeah.
The sick attraction of guilt must be recognized for what the sick attraction of guilt is, for having been made real to you, it's essential to look at the sick attraction of guilt clearly. Okay, here's the steps. First, you look at that you're attracted to drama.
Mm-hmm.
Then you turn around and then you withdraw your investment in it. I'm attracted to guilt, but I'm going to withdraw my investment in it. And then he says, well, how do you withdraw your investment in anger and guilt? The next line says, well, what? To learn to let it go. So we're here to learn how to let go of our attraction to guilt, lack, pain, loneliness, and everything else that brings us any kind of sadness. We're here to learn to let it go. Notice it said, learn to let it go. It didn't act like it was natural for us to let it go. So I got to learn to let it go because I've been most attracted to the relationships sometimes that were the least good for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed to learn to let it go because I had such an attraction to guilt because I felt so guilty and so unworthy that it was hard to let go of the thing that was hurting me the most because by hurting me, it was giving me what I thought I deserved. So therefore, you want to stay with what's giving you what you want. You want to stay with who's giving you what you want. You want to stay with who's giving you what you want. So if you're in the guilty mind, then you think you deserve punishment, so you're going to stay with the people and in the circumstances that cause you pain because they're giving you what you believe you deserve. But we have to learn to let it go because I'm not going to let it go as long as I think I still deserve some kind of punishment. I'm not going to let go. I am not going to be attracted to beautiful people who treat me loving when I don't think I deserve that. I'm just not going to be attracted. And they're not going to be attracted to me.
Right.
You know, I've been attracting a lot of new people. Like, you all are a reflection of my attraction to innocence as far as I'm concerned. And also, I've been attracting a lot of new people in my life that are also very much in the innocent mind. It's just so much easier being with people who are in the innocent mind or who want to be in the innocent mind. Those are that's the two conditions. Either be there or want to be there. You know what I'm saying? Because I want to be there and I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody in here wants to be there and they're there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I really don't want to deal with somebody that doesn't even want peace. You know, they're not, let alone not being able to do it. They think you crazy,
right,
for even asking for it.
Yeah.
You know, something's wrong with you for even wanting to be on the path of truth. Well, that's not the person that I'm going to take to Tahiti. Okay.
Oh,
all right. But sometimes when you're in your guilty mind, the people you feel the most passion for are the same people that make you mad.
Yeah.
You ever notice that?
Nope.
So there can be a total connection between your passion for someone and the fact that they're also the person you can get the most upset with.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that. That they're usually the same person. The same person that turned me on the most is the same person that makes me mad.
The adrenaline or something.
Yeah, just literally they're the ones that make me mad. And then you get a chance to have that good old makeup sex if it's a special relationship. You know what I'm saying? Everything, when you just want to tear each other's flesh off after you've been mad for a while. You know what I'm saying? We all know about it. I hope y'all remember that. I'm hoping a few people.
Just something about the drama and excitement that add to maybe...
Well, people who are in a fearful, guilty state of mind, the only way they can feel alive is through drama. They don't know how to feel alive through the joy and the peace and the exuberance of life and innocence. If it wasn't for their drama, their life would be boring because they're not doing anything. So at the very least, to entertain themselves, they make up problems that don't exist and spend all their time trying to solve them. That's what we do.
Wow.
We just make up problems. You know, I'm mad at you, you're mad at me. Let's process this. Let's talk about that. I got to work on this. Got to work on that. You know, I got to work on me. I got to work on you. You got to work on you. See, I'm doing all that because there's nothing else for me to do other than that. I'd be watching the NBC Nightly News. You know what I mean? It's like we got to come up with drama to even. Some people have to. They don't even feel alive to their anger. They're so out of touch with their feelings that anger is the closest thing they got to feeling anything. So they either always got to be mad at somebody, jealous, drama, 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 drama. It's always drama, 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 drama. Okay. Now, there's a certain amount I want to cover, and then we can throw it open for some discussion. Because questions, Jeff, are you about to get it? Because it's like, I can't hardly hear. That's okay. You innocent. You innocent, but I was just waiting. What's going on? No, but that's the way it is when you're cool. You can say that. You can't say that, do you?
Yeah,
we wouldn't have no relationship if I couldn't say that.
I can't change it unless you tell me.
Yeah, the worst relationships I've ever had has been with people that if you couldn't say what you was feeling with them, they'd be so upset about it, y'all might not ever speak again, so you never get it. The relationship is totally unreal.
Mm-hmm.
There's absolutely no room for any kind of real communication because you got to always be saying, you know, you just can't ever just say what you feel. Because I know that she wasn't trying to disturb us. It would be the thing if I felt like she was sitting there going, I'm going to screw this class up. Then we'd have a problem, you know what I'm saying? But I knew that wasn't the case. So sometimes when you kind of figure out how to respond to somebody, always ask yourself, what's this person's purpose? Would this person want to hurt me? So would they be purposely saying something that hurts me? And then it'll make you be more open to what they said, especially if you've gotten to the point you're about to get mad about what you think they said. Well, I love you. Why would I purposely say something to hurt you? So if you're listening to me and your feelings are getting hurt by what I'm saying, it's a strong possibility that you might be misperceiving what you're hearing because I wouldn't try to say something to hurt you.
What about people that are?
Yeah.
They only hurt you because you accept it. They only hurt you because we are not vulnerable, weak beings at the mercy of everything and everybody around us. The only reason why we would want that to be true is that we would want it to be so that we could be the same way. Yeah. That there could be people that we would have power over and that we could manipulate in some way. So the person that wants to be the victim is also the person that would be the perpetrator if the situation was reversed.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be funny when I was growing up and it looked like there was this all this racial oppression. And then as a black person, I was being told all my problems was white people. If it wasn't white people, I wouldn't have no problem.
Yeah.
Because it looked like that back in the 50s. For sure.
Yeah.
For anybody that lived through it, that's what it looked like from a black perspective. Now, I know y'all don't know about that.
No.
But that's why I'm here to school you. Okay. And so I would hear stuff like, so from a lot of angry black people, I would hear, you know, what they would do if they were in charge. Because it looked like the white people had the power, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I would hear was that they would do the same thing back to the white people.
Yeah.
And so I realized that, you know, that wasn't any kind of solution. That wasn't a way to have the thing solved. The real answer had to be something beyond either one of those solutions. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the person that's the victim would turn around and then be the perpetrator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to get even.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? What I kept saying was, my thing was, well, why can't we just all get along? That was literally the way I saw it as a kid. It just didn't make any sense to me. I was like, when I was a kid, I just thought this was the craziest place that I had ever been to, and I could not understand for the life of me why nobody questioned it, and everybody accepted it as normal. Was there anybody else in here like that when you were a kid? Like when you were really young, you felt something wasn't just right about this?
Mm-hmm.
And you still might get that feeling. But as a kid, you know, you still got some remnants of your a memory of where you really came from and the love that we really came from. And you haven't completely forgotten that you're more than a body. But the good old adults, we take care of that as quick as we can, and we call education getting them just as crazy as we are until they get to the point they can make all these crazy deductions without any help from us, and then they're now a member of society. When you can think crazy without me helping you, you're now a member of society. That's the way we do it. You do it. When I can come to the conclusion that I'm a victim of everything, just like everybody else, and everything that's happening to me is being caused out something outside of myself, and it's your fault for what I'm going through, I am now a member of society. Because on that perception of yourself, the world smiles with approval. You won't get people that just, you get a lot of people that go into agreement when you say how hard things are.
Yeah.
The world spouts on that. You walk into a situation and say, I think I'm responsible for every single thing that I experience in my life, and I'm the one that's created everything that's ever happened to me, and see how much applause you get from anybody around you. Because all of us, if that's true, that means that they're the one that's creating what they're going through, and they've been busy blaming everybody else all the way back to their parents, and they don't like that, because then they got to change themselves. But if I walk in and say, it's pitiful the way things with people have always treated me. Oh, I'm such a victim that my girlfriend was so low down. Then, smile with approval. I'm a victim. Smile with approval. You're a victim. Mm-hmm. Nothing should show us that clearer than the government. Nothing. If anybody observes politics, they ought to have the most best lesson about something not having no control over your life as you can possibly imagine. And I'm not saying you shouldn't play the political game if that's a game you're interested in. But I've lived 57 years, and I've never seen any politician really make any difference in my life. Whether it was Republican, whether it was Democrat, whether it was whatever, they all basically do the same thing. That's just been my experience. I'm not condemning it. I'm just saying, after a while, you just start seeing that the dance is the same. Now, will I still do what I think I need to do at a political level if I feel like it? Of course I will. If I feel like voting, I vote. But I vote knowing that it has nothing to do with my happiness. Mm-hmm. I vote as a symbol of what I think I'd like to see happen. Not that I'm looking for this person to make my life better. I make my life better with God. I make my life better by getting in touch with my spirit. I'm responsible for allowing my life to be better. And in the meantime, I'm going to do symbolic gestures in the physical world to show that I want that, which means if I can help it, I'm going to try not to melt the ice caps, even though the ice caps are a total illusion. Mm-hmm. In terms of our spiritual identity. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'll vote for whoever I think is best, even though I know it has nothing to do with my happiness, because that's symbolic of my ability to make choices. So when you start to wake up, you still look like you're doing things in the physical world, just like everybody else, going to a job, doing your thing. But your reason for doing it and what it symbolizes to you is completely different from what it symbolizes to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So when you wake up, you're doing symbolic gestures. When you're still asleep, you really think you're doing something. That's the difference. You think you're really going out here and changing people. And you think you're going out and changing things. But you can't do that from a separation consciousness. You can only make real change from a perspective of oneness and from love. Anything other than love is not going to really make a difference. Which, you know, that's just the truth. That some people, it takes lifetimes for them to come to that conclusion, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are ready to make that distinction today, like I'm ready to make that distinction today. And if I look for people to abuse me and misuse me, they'll show up, because that's the way everything is set up. My perception will always witness to my beliefs. And so if I believe people are no good, people will treat me like in a no good way. But I need to get... I was counseling a person one time, just recently, as a matter of fact, this week. A very powerful person. I do some counseling for people out of town. And she was telling about all the spiritual practices she had done all over the world, and all through her 20s and teens. She was, you know, had gone all over the world and traveled and studied and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And she had been doing this. But then when she would talk about her life situation, she would become a single mother that was a victim of the ex-husband and the boss that she doesn't like.
Mm.
Now, and what she needed to see was the contradiction.
Yeah.
Because it's not until you see the contradiction that she can indeed claim her power.
Yeah.
Because the court says you can maintain two different belief systems at the same time as long as you don't bring them together. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Most people are in the thought system of separation most of the time. I'm separate, I'm separate, I'm a victim, I'm separate, I'm separate, I'm separate, I'm separate, I'm separate, I'm separate, I'm separate. So I got this competition, I got to look out for myself. Somebody might try to hurt me. It's just not a lot of love out there. I got to try to get that money. Without that money, I ain't going to be able to make it. You know, okay, that's my separation mind. Okay, got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the other side of my mind is just facing this way. Oh, I'm an all-powerful child of God. I create my reality. I'm responsible for what I achieve. Everything is one with me. Nothing but love is real. There is no such thing as lack. I want love that's fully returned and fully given. And I want to be one with God. Now, I'm maintaining two separate belief systems at the exact same time. And so that means sometimes I'm seeing love and peace and joy. And then I switch into my other mind. And then I see I want to kill two or three people. And I think everybody sucks. Okay, then I go, oh, it's a beautiful morning. Oh, it's a beautiful day. God, I wonder what's going to happen with this gasoline environment. You see what I'm doing?
Yeah.
And that's what we call a good day, a bad day, or I'm going through my different moves during the day. Now, what happens when someone turns around and makes you aware that you're holding both of those beliefs? That's exactly what the course does. It makes you aware that it's you that's thinking two ways. It's you that's saying, I'm one, I'm separate. I'm one, I'm separate. I create my own reality. I'm not a victim of anybody. Damn, you're doing this to me. Then all of a sudden, then you got a world that goes with each one of those. The person, you know, when you're in that state of mind, you see all these wonderful, loving, kind, generous people. And then when you're in the other, you're looking at it the other way, you just see things to defend about. You see what I'm saying? So the Course is saying, if you do this correctly, you'll be in this one all the time. All the time.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it's just your choice to look this way. But how am I going to not look that way when I'm pretending that I don't even have that in my mind?
Mm-hmm.
And the way I know that I got it in my mind is the easiest way in the world to know when you have something in your mind. You perceive it. If you see it, it's in your mind. You see attack, it's in your mind. You see manipulation, it's in your mind. You see people that are out to get you, it's in your mind. How do you know it's in your mind? Because I see it. Why do I see it? Because it's in my mind. Okay, so the Course in Miracles is saying, while you're looking this way at the separated fear, guilt, manipulative thought system, the part of you that is looking at it this way is still creating really cool stuff all the time. So even while you're looking that way, your Holy Spirit or your loving self is creating good, cool stuff for you. And all that good, cool stuff that your right mind is creating is waiting for you as soon as you decide to stop looking that way. And one of the ways you experience that in your physical life is that you have things happen to you that's nicer than you think you deserve, and you don't see how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's your loving self creating stuff even while your fearful self don't even think you deserve it. The problem is the people who reflect that love show up in your life, and sometimes you don't even recognize them because you're too busy looking at what's missing. So when you begin to wake up, you'll always notice that you are caring less and less and less about what other people are doing and other people are thinking and what other people are believing, and you're taking more and more responsibility for yourself. So when I'm listening to a person, I'm listening in terms of how much personal responsibility are they taking for any experience that they're having. If they're not taking any responsibility and it's always somebody else's fault, then you know it's only a matter of time before you get blamed too. Because they blame everybody else, and right now they might not be blaming you because it looks like they can get something. You haven't disappointed them yet. Right now when you're in the look like I can get phase, I think you're a nice person and I really like you. I really, really like you. But the minute I think I'm not going to get what I want out of you, and somehow or another you're not doing what I want you to do, and you don't respond to my guilt and anger, you're a low down dog. And I need to get away from you. Why? Because I can't get from you. I can't get from you. Sorry. So when I see somebody walk in and my heart leaps, I realize, there's somebody I think I can get from that just came into the room. See, that's too real. See, most people can't get that real. They want to go, oh, it's love at first sight. If you're coming from the separation mind, it's get at first sight.
Get
it's first sight. Yeah, it's like, oh, I've been looking for a guy like you. See, I think I can get. I've been looking for a guy. And the truth is, most people fall for it because they're so glad to get any attention whatsoever that they're not only glad they're trying to get, they wonder what took them so long. I'm looking for somebody that want to get something from me. So they show up and I'm like, yeah, baby, yeah. All right. I've been looking for somebody.
Yeah.
Because if you want to get from me, I can get from you. We can get together. And that's what we say.
Let's get together.
Have you heard that term? Let's get together. Let's get together. So if you're in a guilty mind and you feel guilty about that, you go, oh, that's me. I know that's me. That's really perfect. You know, that's because you may be listening to me through your guilty mind. If you're listening to me through your innocent mind, you're being freed. You're being shown how not to hurt yourself. You're shown what to be aware of so that you don't trick yourself. If you're in guilty mind, it's like, it's like, no, the fact that you can look at your brick means you're about to get rid of it. I'm looking at my brick tonight. Yeah, I got a brick. So before I go a little bit further, any questions? Anything anybody want to share about what they've heard? Any ahas?
One thing that occurred to me when you were talking about the guilt that you have this sick attraction to guilt. Many of the times that I've been in love, thought I was in love with somebody, and I just picked the person that I could make myself feel the guiltiest about. You know, somebody who's married or somebody who is...
Right!
The other person didn't have to make me feel guilty at all. I could make myself feel guilty instantly just because that's the person I've been to. And you know that feeling you get?
Well, I know nobody in here has ever thought about having a less than illicit relationship ever in their whole life. Nobody here has ever been tempted to do that. So I think I can relate to what you're saying. We're having a hard time, but we never think thoughts like that. There are no thought police. Yeah, you're exactly right. When you let go of the guilt, the thing that you're attracted to tends to lose its attraction if you're not... I was much more like sexually predatory, for example, when I believed in guilt. Because sex is what people use to make themselves feel guilty a lot. Mm-hmm. So it's a popular guilt attraction.
Yeah.
You know, or a person who wants to give up smoking and they can't give up smoking. Or the person that's into drinking and can't give up drinking. Whatever your addiction is. And an addiction, by definition, is just something that seems like you got to have that you don't have no control over. You're no longer a choice. You just got to do it. You just can't help yourself. People don't realize that the reason why they keep doing the thing over and over again is because they feel guilty about it. They think it's the thing itself that's the problem. They don't know that there's a part of the mind that feeds off guilt. There's a part of the mind that feeds off guilt. There's a part of the mind that likes to feel guilty because we've been taught we are guilty. We are sinful. We aren't enough. So we've been fed that guilt thought. So the Course is telling us, well, there's a part of your mind that feeds off of guilt. And so it's just looking to do whatever makes you feel guilty because it wants the guilt. It's really not about the cigarette. It's about the guilt you feel from smoking it. It's not about the sex. So the minute you find out, the minute you get into your innocence place, you'll find that all the stuff you used to feel compelled to do, you're completely at more choice about. All of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, it would be nice if I did this with you, but I'm okay if we don't. It'd be nice if I had a cigarette, but it'd be okay if I didn't. It'd be nice if I had a beer. In other words, all of a sudden without the guilt, it's just, is this going to make me feel peace or not? And if it's not going to make me feel peace, I'm not going to do it. It's just, it becomes just that simple. So you're paying more attention to the peace that you're going to have than you are to the thing you're getting ready to do. So then if you're presented with a temptation, you'll go, is that going to give me peace? Like now when I'm presented with different opportunities to have different experiences, I ask myself, well, this is going to, it's not about as bad, right or wrong, you know. It's not bad for me to do this, but am I going to give myself peace about it? And if I'm not going to give myself peace about it, I'm going to punish myself about it. And I don't want to punish myself. So it's not that what I'm doing is wrong. I'm going to make it wrong. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to punish myself about it. So the person who condemns smokers better not pick up a cigarette. They better, you know, the person that, whatever you condemn, you better not do it. Uh-huh. I guarantee that. You sitting around, like, trying to say what's good for everybody else, you better make sure you don't do it. Because you're going to attack yourself for doing what you're condemning somebody else for. The other person may not have any problem. I've watched people on TV who've lived 110 years, and they say, how did you live 110 years? They say, well, every day I had a swig of scotch and three packs of cigarettes. Haven't you seen that before? Yeah, it's no formula. It's you being honest with yourself about what makes you feel innocent.
So if you tell somebody asks you to do something and you say, well, that's not going to give me peace to do that.
Yes.
They have to be a part of the course knowledge to understand that, or else they don't get it. And then the return comment I get is, yeah, but that's what I want.
What do you mean that's what I want?
That's what that person wants me to do. That's what I want you to do.
Uh-huh.
And if I said, but that doesn't give me peace.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Then that person's going to say, but that's what I want you to do for me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So?
Don't care about your peace.
Yeah. So?
Yeah,
so,
don't care about your peace.
Okay. So
then, uh-huh. Then that puts me in conflict with that person because I don't want to, and that person does.
Well, that's their problem.
Yeah, right. Well, that's kind of
thing. Yeah, well, you know, it's like there's something I always like to share with people about being on the spiritual path. It takes courage. It's not for the wimpy. The true path is not for the wimps at all. People are not gonna like. Some people are not going to like the decisions that you make when you start choosing for your peace because they're used to you playing certain roles and taking care of certain needs.
Mm-hmm.
So for you to think that they're going to necessarily have to go, I love that idea, for you to go ahead and live your truth, you'll never live your truth.
You're understanding.
You know, it's like, but I know how you feel because we're all tempted to allow ourselves to be manipulated, especially by the people that are special to us. And that's why the Course calls it special relationship.
Yeah.
Because it's only the people that are special that you even let. You wouldn't a bit more care how I reacted to what you wanted to do if I wasn't special to you. That's why you have to be so discerning about who you allow yourself to have intimate relationships with. Because whoever you allow yourself to have, and by that I mean friendships, not just lovers.
Mm-hmm.
Because whoever that person is, that's the person that you're allowing to have the most influence on you.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you to choose somebody who's going to constantly make you feel less than enough is a reflection of your own desire to still be punished. And that's what the Course is saying. You got to realize they're not there by accident. They're there giving you what you think you deserve. And the way that you break that pattern is you have to do the thing that is so scary. You have to say no and then stick to it regardless of the reaction that they have to what it is you just said. And I'll tell you how they're probably going to react. First of all, the Course says, they're going to escalate their attempt to be angry and to manipulate you. Okay, so they're going to go, but if you don't respond, you know what they get one day? That they got to take a different approach if they want to reach you. So they'll stop using anger and attack, or they'll go somewhere where that works still, which we call, you know, our next lover friend. You know, because in the beginning, both people think they can get, so they're willing to sacrifice. But after a while, if you see you're not going to get what you want, then your inclination to sacrifice is not going to be so strong, and that's when the challenge starts. Because the first is like a bargain, and it looks like both of y'all are going to give each other what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you see the other person isn't, then that's when the anger and the guilt manipulation comes up. So the purpose of me saying this is not to depress you about love. The purpose of me saying this is for you not to allow yourself to be manipulated so that you can recognize the person who would not manipulate you and would want your peace, because they are just as real as the people that now seem to not satisfy us completely. But we have to be one to have one. Or we have to sincerely want to be that way, to have one. So it doesn't mean I have to know everything about love before I can attract a loving person to me. It just means I have to sincerely want to learn what love is. Why? Because if I sincerely want to learn, then I have to have the opportunity to experience love in order to learn. So I would attract a loving person to me, and it is a loving situation. But I have to be sincere about my desire to learn. Like, if you want a new relationship in any way, all you have to say is, I'm ready to learn. Like, people be programming and all that other stuff. All you got to do is say, I'm ready to learn. But you got to be clear about what you want to learn. So the Course is saying, well, what do you want to learn? I want to learn to let the guilt go. I want to learn how to let pain go. I want to learn how to let lack go. I want to learn love. I want to learn peace. So what do you all want to learn? Okay, and so, you have to stop, and the Course says this, you have to stop beating yourself up for the mistakes that you make while you're learning. That you got to get rid of that whole concept of every time you make an error, like you still get upset, still feel guilty, still might try to get, still, you cannot still beat yourself up for still doing the things that you program yourself to do while you're in the process of letting them go. Readiness is not mastery. Just because we say we're ready doesn't mean we mastered not one single thing we're talking about. So as soon as you say you're ready and then you beat yourself up because you haven't mastered it, that's still another way of attacking yourself and making yourself feel guilty. Then I'm making myself feel guilty because I'm not doing this good enough. Mm-hmm. See, do you see what is it still about, guilt?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real subtle trick. Now I feel guilty because I'm not spiritual enough.
Mm-hmm.
I used to feel guilty because I went out with a married woman.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow or another, that's supposed to be different. It's still guilt.
Yeah.
So you haven't changed at all. You just have higher ego needs, as the Course puts it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm feeling guilty for higher reasons. So now I'm more spiritual. So it's a higher form of guilt. I'm so spiritual. I'm only guilty about not being close to God. You know what I'm saying? Instead of what I did on prom night, you know. So now I'm more, you know, now I'm more spiritual, you know. It is an oxymoron. Just like fighting for peace.
Yeah.
Or just like being separated and unseparated. You know, we do oxymorons all the time. I love everybody, you know, in the sense that, you know, oh yeah, until you mess up. I got scripts for everyone. I have scripts for everyone. The only difference now is I know it shouldn't be that way. That's it. And that's a great place to start.
Yeah.
Is that I know I should let you all be.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I can do it all the time or not isn't the issue. The only thing that was important was for me to set that goal. And I'd much rather be with a person that set the goal of peace than be messing around with somebody who doesn't even want it.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, my goodness. Okay, I'm going to stop.
Oh.
Okay, Mr. 8. And that the way you are is exactly what pleases them.
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine that?
Yeah.
How you express it yourself to them is just perfect. That's it. The way your sense of humor is just the kind of sense of humor I like. The way you handle things, that's just the way I love you. Could you imagine that? That your natural way of being would be something that didn't frighten somebody, but was actually what turned them on.
Yeah.
The Course says that's what Holy Spirit will send to you. Somebody that needs you just the way you are for them to learn the lessons that they need to learn. And so they know that, so they actually appreciate you being more yourself, and they'll say stuff like, be more yourself. And that's why I try to tell my friends, please let me see more of you. Please. Because something is wrong if I've been around you for a long time and you still act the same way. Then that means our trust level isn't deepening. Because we all know that the safer we feel with somebody, the more outrageous we get. And the freer we get. And the more expressive we get. So if you have some relationships that have just stopped at point B and some have stopped at point D, by that I mean you know everything that's going to happen with that person when you're with them. You know exactly what you are going to do. You know exactly what you're not going to do. There's no spontaneity. You got this rigid little playground that y'all in. That's okay. That's all right. But you want to go for the safety, because the safer you feel, the more free to communicate and join and express yourself that you'll feel. So the thing to shoot for in a relationship is safety more than anything else. Because after I feel safe around you, you see an Earl that's a lot more fun than this one. I guarantee you. I got people that tell you about it. These are people saw him Saturday night. I love it because when he comes out, he draws the same thing out of the people around him. And you really see that people meet you. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if any of y'all have ever smoked pot, but I have. And sometimes when you are high, you'll be more expressive than you normally are. And everybody else will seem to be more expressive to you with you. The weird thing is, they haven't had anything. So you realize that they are really reacting to the way you're expressing yourself. You're being more open. You're being more friendly. You're laughing. And you're fun. So then you get a lot. So to me, that's like a great example of how you pull out of people who you are. Because that same thing could have happened without being high. Mm-hmm. But usually people won't do it unless they are. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not a lot of people I see that really, 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 really get really, really expressive unless they've had some kind of artificial stimulation of some type. Mm-hmm. It might be alcohol, it might be coffee. You know, the average person, when they don't have some kind of a stimulus, they're pretty much dull. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are always exceptions. Well, that can be music. That's what I'm saying. It's usually some type of stimulation that's happening that's getting that person to come out of something normal. That's what I mean. Because I don't judge any of that. To me, it says, don't use it to hurt yourself, or you're going to use it to hurt yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, the judgment thing has to go at some point on the spiritual path. At some point, you have to go, I'm not here to judge people. You know. And the one thing that I've done in my life, since I got on the spiritual path when I was 23, and so I've explored myself every single way I've ever wanted to explore myself. Mm. And I'm so thankful that when I leave this planet, I will not be a person that left this planet saying, I wish I had her. Mm-hmm. I won't be one of those. One of those people won't be me. Because what's the point of knowing that you're free? And what's the point of knowing that you're innocent? And what's the point of knowing that you're connected to a greater power and a greater wisdom if you're not going to have self-expression? You know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be grown so I could do what I wanted to do. Then I got grown, and then I kept my parents in my mind. Mm-hmm. So now I see people 40, 50, still acting like there's this invisible parent that's keeping them from experiencing new things. I just can't do that. Why? First of all, most people don't care.
Right.
The only people that care are the ones that are in a special relationship from you that need you to be a certain way in order to satisfy their needs. I guarantee you, I don't care. Do you care? No, you don't care what I do tonight. And you don't care what I do tonight, and neither do you. Nobody, you don't really care. If you get real, you know what I'm talking about. Thank you. You know what I'm talking about. And what I'm saying is, you're not going to bed tonight worried about what I'm going to do tonight. Okay, but if I was your man, mm-hmm. you would.
Mm-hmm.
Then the rules come, then all of the conditions come, and then maybe the guilt comes if I don't do it right, and vice versa. It works both ways. That's what the court is saying. The special person either is the person that frees you from your guilt, or they're the person that compounds your guilt.
Yeah.
They're either doing one or the other. They're either freeing you, or they're, because nobody else cares.
Mm-hmm.
You can do whatever you want to do,
mm-hmm.
as long as you're not doing something generally to hurt somebody. People don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So we really are very free already.
Mm-hmm.
But I found out it was the one in my head that cared was the biggest limiting one of all. It was the Earl that learned what the world taught him. And he sits up there and he tries to judge me by what the world teaches me I should do. Even though I know there's most people in the world that believe in the world are the most fearful people I've ever seen anywhere. They're scared of everything. And everybody. Just watch a person who really, really believes in the world. They're not generally very open and trusting. They don't know that you can learn how to be so in tune with yourself intuitively that you'll know instantly when you meet somebody whether you can trust them or not. You don't even have to put them through the third degree. It's so much easier. And so pay attention to how you feel when you meet people. Pay attention to how you felt before you entered the room. Pay attention to what you tell yourself when you think you are alone, because then you're getting in touch with your own thoughts. And if you find your thoughts and feelings drastically changing when you're around other people, then that's a sign of how you're allowing yourself to be affected by the thoughts in your environment and the vibration in your environment, because you weren't feeling that way before you walked in the door. You know, even if your mind says, ooh, maybe I should trust this person, if your gut and your body is going, they might be trustworthy, but the way you feel is letting you know that you're probably going to create some kind of a fearful experience with them. Not because they're untrustworthy necessarily, but because at that point you're untrustworthy. Because you're the one that's not trusting. So you're going to be the one to create something that justifies your lack of trust. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Yeah. As soon as I walk up to you and I don't trust you, even if you're trustworthy, then I'm going to create something that's going to make me not trust you. I got to justify that. First I decide how I'm going to feel, then I do things to justify that feeling. That's where everything works. I walk in, some people walk in the door and they go, I'm really going to have a great time in Earl's class tonight. And it doesn't matter what I say, they feel cool about it. Some people walk in and they're in a suspicious, fearful place. So no matter what I say, I'm a cult leader. Okay? Oh, I don't care what I say, so they're going to disagree. But because they've already come in afraid. So who do you choose to make yourself feel peace with? That's the person that you're going to probably create a lot of cool experiences with. Notice I said the one you choose to give yourself peace with. Mm-hmm.
I just had a horrible experience where I didn't listen to myself, a mm-hmm. little voice, saying this person is cold. This person doesn't care about, you know, this person mm-hmm. is making you do. I didn't listen.
Mm-hmm.
I kept on with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And $10,000 later, this is a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the worst.
And that's what they mean by paying for your mistakes.
Well, I mean, the thing was, I had to serve as an advocate for me, and she turned against, you know, me, and it was just because. But I know if I listened to those clues earlier, I would have known she got right for me.
And what hit me was that whether that person was really trustworthy or not, mm-hmm. like I was saying, isn't so much the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Was that you projected on them that they weren't? Hold it. And so when you really start to wake up, you realize that there was something in you that created that experience. And that's the last thing that people want to hear when they're upset with somebody. Because until I create a connection between me and what I'm experiencing, I don't care whether it's good or bad, then I will not be able to change that experience. There's absolutely zero advantage to seeing a total separation between me and my experience. Even though it may give you that temporary feeling of I was the victim of this person, but it's like you can say, I feel like I was a victim of this person, and I also feel like this person wasn't trustworthy. And for example, let's say $10,000 ago, but what I have to always get back to is however I'm feeling about it, I'm the one that's making myself feel however I feel about it. And that's where the empowerment starts. with me going, you know what? That was a really horrible experience that I made myself feel, or I made myself experience, or that I gave to myself. Because the more you remind yourself that you are the creator of what you are experiencing, the closer you get to that day where you are only looking this direction, because you will know that it will be your choice. But you don't get to that really quick as long as you still reinforce the idea that you're a victim. Even though it feels like it and you can say you feel like it, it can look like it and you can, it's okay to say it looks like it. And yes, we can attract people into our lives that seem like they play that role beautifully. Mm-hmm. Where it looks like I really did try to treat you right. And believe me, I'm not saying this casually. There are people in my life that I can look at like that right now if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. Too, but it's just that now I understand that I don't have to deny how I feel. I need to be honest. If I feel like I've been attacked or I feel like I've been hurt, but as quick as I can, I want to get to that point where I can go, I'm responsible for how I feel about this. I'm responsible for how I'm experiencing this. Mm-hmm. And then that situation that was negative at first will become something that empowers you. Even though it's not necessarily pleasant, because at the beginning we will be applying to the truth to situations that upset us more than the situations that don't. Because if not, we wouldn't be in this position of having to grow. So in the beginning, it's going to sound like you're having to own stuff that just seems ridiculous. You know, you don't want to have nothing to do with owning no part of that, you know. And that's why the Course says the hardest part is the beginning. It says it in the book, the hardest part is the beginning. Because it's in the beginning that you're most faced with your old thought system. And then the further you go on the path, the more the new thought system takes over and the old one starts to fade, till it gets to the point that it's very seldom that you're dealing with situations that are unpleasant or unloving. They still might come up from time to time, but you'll notice, like, the drama in my life now compared to the drama in my life 10 years ago or 15 years ago, it is no comparison whatsoever. So, yeah, so what changed? Mm-hmm. The world certainly didn't change. I wonder who changed. Oh, I love it. Me. Well, since I'm the one person I seem to have the most influence over, I think this is a good deal. Don't you?
Yeah, I'm glad it works out.
Yeah, I'm glad it works out. Woo! I'd be a freak if my happiness depended on changing you all. You know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love this new system that's saying it's about me changing my perception. Mm-hmm. That's easier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thanks for doing your chair illustration. That really hit home for me.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, one picture's worth 1,000 words, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah, yeah. And realize there is, of course, there is a world that goes with each way of seeing. Literally. And the people who live in this world, when you tell them about that one, they say you're nuts. Because they literally, just like you, they literally don't see it. No, it's not that they're trying to be difficult. Their world just doesn't contain the kind of people that I'm talking about as far as the loving people. It's really not in their world. So, that's why we need to be compassionate. Because it's not like they're just trying to give you a hard time. They really don't see the love. Okay? But you are the love. The love is coming to you. And don't feel guilty about not letting yourself be manipulated. All right? Okay.
We deserve it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We deserve it. We deserve it. And the way you know you deserve it is that you showed up tonight. You wouldn't have been here hearing someone say you deserve it if it had not been the part of you that attracted me to you. I'm not a cause, I'm an effect.
Yeah.
I'm here because you thought me up.
Yeah.
Well, we're here because she made us.
Yeah. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad she did that? That sounds like somebody who's giving you love.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you know that when we were in low, mm-hmm. we made the decision that we would not be baptized, given that this additional layer of guilt or fulfillment of that?
Mm-hmm.
And for years of my own consciousness of mind, I thanked her for that. Just silently, like, been like happy about it. Like living in a world where others like are in this like about this mental chatter,
it's
never there.
And that's beautiful. That's great.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And then you can imagine how much joy that brings to her. You know.
Yeah.
Because some of us have entirely different experience of our children. That's beautiful to hear. So hugs are available for those who would like them. If not, you're going out to the lab and may the course be with you.